Good evening. And Valerie, good evening. It's good to see you here again. And we've got guests from Central Church of Christ. For those of you who don't know, Central did support me in Germany for many, many years. So you are from the Central here in Altamont Springs. Okay, maybe I better check before I get myself into too much trouble. But Central helped me for a number of years in Germany with my support. So welcome, and when you go back, please take my love and greetings back to Central. I wish it were possible. I have read science fiction in the past, and I wish there were such a thing as time machines. I would truly love to sit at Jesus' feet as he taught. He's been called the master teacher, and we're going to look at one of his parables tonight. Matthew 21, verses 28 through 32. My son's back there saying, hey, that's what we just did in the youth devo. The parable of the two sons. Jesus was a marvel because he would take stories and make points from those stories. And you know, sometimes we say, oh, you can't be too hard and too strong on people, you will turn them off. But let me tell you, Jesus was at times very pointed in his teaching. But let's read this parable together. Verse 28 of Matthew 21. Tell me what you think about this. A man had two sons. He went to the first son and said, son, go and work today in my vineyard. The son answered, I will not go. But later the son changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said, son, go and work today in my vineyard. The son answered, yes, sir, I will go and work. But he did not go. Which of these two sons obeyed his father? What a question. Those people that were listening to Jesus at this time, many of those were his enemies. The leaders of the Pharisees and the Sadducees who had already decided, we have got to kill Jesus. They've already made up their mind to do that. These were the men to whom Jesus was speaking at this time. Let's keep on reading. The priest and leaders answered the first. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. The tax collectors and the prostitutes, two people, by the way, are two groups of people that the Pharisees and Sadducees couldn't stand. I tell you the truth. The tax collectors and the prostitutes will enter the kingdom of God before you do. Can you believe that? He is talking to the leaders of the Jewish nation. I mean, that's kind of like going up to the president of the United States and all those men he surrounds himself with and letting them have it with both barrels. It's like maybe I shouldn't say that. I don't want to get into political stuff. John came to show you the right way to live. You did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes believed him. Even after seeing this, you still refuse to change your ways and believe him. These are the men who wanted to destroy Jesus. They had decided it's time to kill him. He's causing too much trouble. Too many people are turning to him. People are believing him. He's a renegade. He's going to get us in trouble. He can do amazing things, can he? But he's not the Son of God. He is not the Messiah. They were convinced. And even though this story was for these men, to let them know they're not going to make it to heaven unless they change their thinking and doing. But there are things we, too, can learn from this parable. These words give a warning to us as well. The answer these men gave was correct, was it not? The first son, who said no, is the one who went and worked at the end, doing the will of the Father. But by giving this answer, did they not condemn themselves unknowingly at the moment? They did. And it wasn't until Jesus explained the story that they realized that they stepped into a trap, basically. The story is about a father who has a vineyard. Now, to be truthful, I've never seen a real vineyard. I've seen them in Germany from a distance, but I never got to really walk through one. But I'm told it's a good bit of work to have a vineyard. You grew radishes, and I know Mark's brother has done oranges. It's a lot of work to take care of plants and make them grow and produce fruit. It takes a lot of fertilizer, a lot of, I don't know what all it takes. I've never grown really much of anything. But work. And he went to his two sons and he asked them to go and work for him. I mean, after all, they are his sons. And there was work that needed to be done. The first son refused, but later changed his mind and he went back to the vineyard and worked. The second son, who had readily agreed, never got around to it. He did not keep his promise. And Jesus' question was simple. There was only one correct answer, wasn't there? Which of the two sons did the will of the Father? The meaning of the parable is crystal clear. The first son, who would not work and later decided to go work, stood for who? The tax collectors and the prostitutes. People, the Sadducees and Pharisees, couldn't stand. They were the ones who at first refused to obey, but then later did do the will of the Father. All their lives, they had lived wicked lives. They refused to obey God. But when Jesus came, they could no longer persist in sin, but were ready to stop their sin and to enter the kingdom. The leaders of the Jews, on the other hand, had lived their whole lives in a pretense that they were something in the kingdom of God. Men and their wives, I'm sure, participated in this type of thinking. Look at us. We're the leaders of the Jewish congregation. We are not perfect, but we're close. This was kind of their attitude. We can read and learn that when these men came, they got the best seats in the synagogue. These men, when they walked down the streets, people would get out of their way in respect and let them go through first. And Jesus is telling them, you refused to change. You refused to do the Father's will when the Son came. And you will not enter the kingdom of heaven if you stay with this attitude. They had rejected John, and they had rejected Jesus. Eventually, through their efforts, Jesus would be crucified. So they had refused to enter the kingdom of God through Jesus. But let us look at what lesson we can learn. First, let us note the direct way the Father approached his sons. He feels that he has the right to ask them to work in the vineyard. He doesn't come to them and say, will you? He says, what was it? Son, go and work today in my vineyard. So the Father feels that he has the right to ask work of them. His words are kind. They're not strong. They are not you must or else type words. In this way, God still gently calls us to work, but he still calls us and requires of us to go to work. It is God who is ever seeking men and women to work in his vineyard. It is he that calls and takes the initiative to bring inactive and indifferent people into the vineyard to work. And he told other parables about seeking inactive people and bringing them into the vineyard to work. Remember some of those other parables he told? You know, where the owner kept going and finding people sitting waiting for a job and taking them and sending them to his vineyard. Just kept finding people and sending them to work. Jesus or God takes the initiative to call inactive and indifferent people into his vineyard. Jesus speaks of this divine impulse in John chapter 6, verse 44, when he said, "The Father is the one who sent me. No one can come to me unless the Father draws him to me. And I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me." So Jesus is stating the fact that no one can come to him unless the Father has called him to Jesus. He calls people to work in the vineyard. How does he call us? What did the Bible there say? He says, they will be taught by God. God draws mankind to Jesus through teaching of the Word. You know, sometimes I think we put too much emphasis on we got to have this program and this program and this program to draw people in. Jesus preached the Word. And he sent his people out, his disciples, preaching the Word. Maybe we need to get back to preaching the Word. But Paul also talks about this. In 2 Corinthians, no, I'm sorry, I like to say 2 Corinthians and 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2 and verse 14 and verse 15. 2 Thessalonians 2, 14 and 15. Paul says, God used the good news that we preach to you to call you to be saved so you can share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So brothers and sisters, stand strong and continue to believe the teachings we gave you in our speaking and in our letter. Men are brought near to the grace of God when they learn and receive and submit to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, it's important that we love one another. That's how people know we're disciples of Christ. Yes, it's important to do good things. But will our doing good things and loving them save them? They must respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus calls us through teaching and not through programs. God's call goes out to all of his children. This man had two sons. How many did he call to work? Both. God calls all of his children. And who are his children? Is it not all of mankind? Yes, his sons are those who come to Jesus. But are not all mankind his children made in his image? He calls them all to go or come and work in the vineyard because he wants all of his children to be saved. Remember, said that he has patience, not wanting any to perish, but that all will come to repentance. God is waiting and calling his children to come work in the vineyard, to submit to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wants all children to be saved and come and work. But he will not force those to enter the vineyard and work. He asks. He calls. But he does not make them go and work in the vineyard. It is their choice to recognize and accept his authority to call. Secondly, what did the father desire his son to do? Work. We don't like that word, do we? Work. Work? In the church? In the vineyard? Me? When people come into the church, what do they usually expect? What do they want? We want to feel good. Yeah, we want to feel good. What else? We want to be served. We want to be loved. We want to be taken care of. But they don't think about wanting to serve others, do they? You know, there's a misconception people have. They think when I come into the church, problem cease. God's going to bless me. I'm going to be healthy. I'm going to have enough money and wealth to live on and get what I want. And a life of ease, basically, isn't it? Work? Me? But isn't that some false conceptions many Christians have? Does Jesus call us into the church to sit around and be served? Or does he call us to serve? He calls us to serve. He calls us to work. To work in the vineyard. So many people enter the church to escape the storms of life, only to find out the storms can hit just as hard within the church. Not realizing the church is designed not to avoid storms, but to give support in the storms of life. You ever think about this? I don't know. You were a farmer, Charlie. Before you can get your radishes to grow, there's some things you got to do, aren't there? First off, I got to prepare the ground. You've got to plant. I don't know, do radishes come in seeds? Okay, I wasn't sure. I'm ignorant with farm. I'm a city boy through and through, born in Los Angeles. And even though I've lived in the country, I was a child and didn't do anything anyways, except children things. So when can you get the radishes? After they're mature. After you've done the work of a farmer. Fertilized. And I don't know what else you did out there. But those plants grew and produced radishes. And you can't eat of the fruit until the work is done to mature the fruit to the point where one can eat. The church is a place of work, not one of indolence. You ever think about that? It should also be noticed that the call had a sense of urgency about it. Remember what he said? Go and work in the vineyard. When? Tomorrow? Today. Work needed to be done, and it needed to be done that day. Christ's call for those who would work for him are to work for him today. That is, after all, the only time there is, according to the Bible. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, we are workers together with God. See, even Paul realized we are workers. So we beg you, do not let the grace that you receive from God be for nothing. God says, at the right time I heard your prayers. On the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you that the right time is now, and the day of salvation is now. When do we work? What did Jesus say? The night is coming when no man can work. Why did he say that? Because he needed to do some things before the night came. He needed to work. And we need to learn to work. If we hold back and procrastinate, If we wait until tomorrow to do the work of today, the chances are that the work will never get done. One day of procrastination usually leads into two. You can ask my wife about me painting the house door on the inside. I think, well, it took me 6 months to get to that. I'm not a painter. But one day turns into two, and 2 days turns into three, and next thing you know, 6 months have passed, and the door still wasn't painted. Painted it yesterday, by the way. I had to. My sister was coming. Now my wife might invite her more. Third, isn't it interesting to see how the two sons responded to their father? One son was very polite and respectful when the father asked him. What would that son say? Yes, sir. I will go and work. You think, what a son. Respectful, obedient, wow. There seemed on his part not really the plan to be disobedient. I think maybe this man really wanted to go work. But, you know, one thing leads to the other. We had Maria over today. She was the only youth outside of my son that came this afternoon. Anna told me, she wrote me an email and told me that, you know, she couldn't come. And my whole point is forgotten. I was going to say something about Maria. A nice girl. I got off on Anna and then other things, and whoop, that thought I just had was gone. Oh, putting off things. She said she was at school, and this one boy asked her to call when she got home, and she had a headache. She went home first and took an aspirin and rested. And then she got a telephone call from a girlfriend, and the girlfriend said, let's go do something, and all of a sudden she forgot to call that boy and went off with this girl and did something. Isn't it easy in life that something comes up and we put something off? And then it gets put off easily. We don't mean to put it off. We don't mean to forget. But we do. One thing leads to another, and I don't necessarily think this son wanted to disobey his father. I think just something came along, and then something else came along, and, well, it's night time. I can't go to work today. So he did not go and do his father's will. This seems representative, I think, of many Christians today, doesn't it? They profess much, and unfortunately, practice little. Many pledge their loyalty to Jesus and want to serve Him. They don't plan not to serve Him. But one thing in life leads to another. You know, Satan knows how to keep us busy, that we don't get busy with the Lord. And I don't think we go in to it and say, well, I'm going to disobey my Lord. I think it just kind of from one thing to another, and we fall into the trap of not doing anything. They just don't get around to it. And then there's no time anymore, and it's forgotten. I think on the words of the Apostle John. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, he says, my children, we should love people not only with words and talk, but by our actions and true caring. If I want to show you that I love you, it's easier for me to say, Charlie, I love you. And then when Charlie comes and says, Monty, I need some help. Oh, don't got no time, Charlie. Sorry. Which way did I show him that I really didn't love him? My words? No, my words are fine. I love you. It was my actions. John says, you know, actions are needed. Words are fine, but actions show true caring. Profession without practice. Promise without performance. These things still continue to be the greatest enemies of the cause of Christ. Good-meaning people who just don't get around to doing it. But apparently, Jesus says, this isn't good enough. Good-meaning people are not doing the will of the Father if they don't go and work in the vineyard. The other son refused his father, and that curtly, I will not go, the son said. He offered no reason or no excuse, just open refusal. He wasn't going. And many people are like this son. They openly refuse to obey Jesus. They refuse to do the will of the Father. But a man is no less a sinner when he admits that he is not a saint. He is still a sinner. But this son, showing what it means to repent, changed his mind. He just didn't have a guilty feeling and say, oh man, I wish I hadn't said that to my father. I wish I would have gone work next time. Didn't this son do that? This son shows what true repentance was. He changed his mind, and what did he do? He went and he worked in his father's vineyard. Having begun the day wrong, he saw no reason to continue in his wrong. He repented. He went and worked in the Father's vineyard. When Jesus asked which of the two sons obeyed the Father's will, the emphasis is on the word obeyed. Not on good manners, not on good intentions. It was based upon the fact who obeyed the Father's will. You see, good intentions not going to get you to heaven. What gets you to heaven is obeying the Father's will. No matter how good the intention, no matter how many promises we make, the simple fact is that one son obeyed and one son didn't obey. Fine words can never take the place of deeds. Let us in the church learn from these two sons. I'd like to end by reading the words of the prophet Samuel to King Saul. And most of you probably know this by heart. This is 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. But Samuel answered, what pleases the Lord more, burnt offerings and sacrifice or obedience to his voice? It is better to obey than to sacrifice. It is better to listen to God than to offer the fat of sheep. God calls us to obedience. He calls us to work. Good intentions don't get the job done. Charlie, if you wanted to plant radishes and you were really going to get out the next day and do it, and you didn't, would you have radishes after a while? Good intentions just don't get it done. God calls us to work. He calls us to obedience. Nothing less will get the job done. Two sons were called. One said he'd do it and didn't. One said he wouldn't and did it. Which son obeyed the Father? Would you like to obey the Father today? You can do it. Jesus said, he who believes in me and is baptized will be saved. The Father calls us to work. If you'd like to work for the Father, tonight's the night. The day of salvation is when? Now. And maybe there are those who need prayers for the church and strength from the Lord. If you need the Lord and our prayers tonight, please come as we stand and sing.